this episode, I want to deal with reincarnation, a deep, complex, and mysterious subject. Because of the nature of the way I'm doing these podcasts, I'm not reading from a script, I'm not sitting there memorizing information beforehand. This is all stuff that I've covered many times over as I've done my research and I've done my meditations. And so as I do these podcasts, I'm just naturally speaking about what I've known for a while and what comes to mind. So this could be a slightly longer podcast because of the nature of the subject. So I'm going to try and put in all the information I would like to. But I will put a link in the description to the University of Virginia Medical Center. They published a video a few years ago, it's about an hour long, where together they had researched the 50 odd years of scientific research, and they give a presentation with their findings. And they do a better job than I can do of talking about specific individual cases and what they mean. Some of them are quite famous and well known. And there are many books on reincarnation. I'm going to deal with it more from my own perspective. There are a number of different opinions as well. In the Eastern tradition, it's believed that you reincarnate immediately within your bloodline. In the Western tradition, it's not so much the same. But there is also this idea that you reincarnate within certain bloodlines. But bloodlines are much more diverse these days than they were thousands of years ago. So it's quite possible for many nationalities to be represented. We also seem to reincarnate within a soul group, a group of people that we'll often see in our lifetime, families, friends, colleagues, important people in our lives. They come along in other lifetimes in many different guises. You could be a mother, a husband, a teacher to the same soul. You could be their child. You may even have been the guide to your guide now while your guide was living on Earth. You will have had a lifetime on Earth with your guide somewhere. And through meditation and through past life regression, we can learn a lot about our past lives. Typically, past life regression will take you back to your childhood and help you deal with trauma and things that had set your behavior for your adult life. And these can be rooted in your childhood, the way you were brought up, some of the traumas that you went through, etc. But then a therapist can take you even further back, and even in chronological order through your past lives, from your previous to the one previous to that, and so on and so forth, going back in time. Some good examples of this is Dolores Cannon's books. She was a clinical psychologist. She was doing these hypnotherapy sessions with her patients and taking them back, like I said, through their childhood and chronologically back through lives. And she came across a number of people who shared a life around Jesus and around the Essene community. And these books are very enlightening. Reading them, I learned a lot about reincarnation, a lot about how past, present and future lives are all happening at once. And it's quite possible to communicate through space and time in a way that we find hard to comprehend. Space, time and matter just dissolve when you start talking about these things. The Theosophists as well brought over a lot of the Eastern traditions of reincarnation. And they themselves, over a period of time, did some clairvoyant work where they went back through their past lives. And they found the same soul group, the same souls reincarnating over and over again in each other's lives in different guises. Some of the members of the Theosophical Society found quite interesting people in their past lives. Madame Blavatsky was allegedly Eliphas Levi. Annie Besant was allegedly Giordano Bruno. And you can't just dismiss this because it makes a lot of sense when you think about the figures involved. But we also have a lot of people who wish that they had these grand lives in the past. Yet they're having fairly ordinary lives in this one. I understand the wishful thinking that goes on because of how difficult and ordinary our lives may seem, and we wish that we had this greater life in the past, which somehow glorifies us even more in this life. But whatever life you've had in the past, you are the culmination of all your past lives now. And all those past lives, all those great figures, they had days when they felt very down to earth, very mundane. I'm sure that they had their difficulties as well. And we also get a lot of our modern knowledge of reincarnation through the work of Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet. He painted quite a picture of past lives and gave many different readings and gave information in the same way. He would explain how certain relationships that we have in this life are affected by the relationships we had with that person in other lives. So someone might have difficulties with their father, and it might stem from a previous lifetime where that father was a different relationship to you, and it's hard for you to see that father as an authority, because in your past life you were the authority and they were in a different guise. And reading about all these different experiences gives you a very broad and very colourful picture about how past lives work, reincarnation, and it stirs within you your own past life memories. Now, when it comes to these children that the scientific research was done, they were innocent. They had no knowledge previous, and they would just come out with these very specific details. As you grow older, obviously you take in a lot of information. So when we get to our 30s and 40s and older, and we're doing this meditation, we are now clouded with all these different ideas. And quite often, these memories that well up in us, they may be clouded by our own thinking. And even more so, when the spirit world give us sort of inspiration and our guides show us their own lives, it's very easy for us to forget that we're being shown someone else's life and start thinking it's our own past life that we've been given. And I also imagine that some of the great teachers, philosophers and priests and priestesses of the past are reincarnating in life today. But I would imagine that they were quite highly evolved, and that they would find a position of the similar nature. If you have someone who's born with a very unique gift for art or music, you can be sure they've developed that over many lifetimes. Some people can just sit at a piano with very little instruction, hear a song and play it by ear. I'm pretty sure that person had musical training in a previous lifetime, if not more. Same with an artist. Some people just have a natural talent for painting or drawing the likeness of another person with a natural talent, whereas some people will need to spend many years learning that and honing the craft, and they won't be as naturally gifted, but they can still achieve that. And some people, with all the instruction in the world, they just don't have the eye for it. Same with music, they just don't have the ear for it. So they probably never developed music or art in their previous lifetimes, but they will have something that they were working on. So we don't need to be jealous of the artist or the musician. They just have a natural gift which is earned over many lifetimes experience. When it comes to spiritual gifts, this is the same thing, especially mediumship. Some people are born naturally gifted, some need to develop and work on it, and some will probably need to explore other avenues in their life. It doesn't mean mediumship won't be beneficial for them as a recipient, but they just may not be gifted as the channel themselves. And it's not something that to be ashamed of. It's just everyone has their different unique gifts. Everyone's got their different experience. And some people are old souls. They've been on the earth many times before, and some people are new souls and they just haven't. Quite why there's a bigger picture involved, we don't know. But there are new souls that come into our big wider soul group, and there are some that are moving on, ascending higher. And if you look at many different traditions, there's about 40 billion souls in our collective group. And there's only 8 billion, just under, being born on Earth at the moment. But if you go back a couple of hundred, if not more years, there were only a few million on Earth. We've had a massive population explosion. Many souls incarnated onto the Earth at this time to be around for this pivotal moment in the human history, to take part in this very complex and very broad civilization we're living in now. Just a couple of thousand years ago, most souls were born into very simple rural communities. Today we're being born into a global community where we can travel all over the world or live in cities with melting pots of different people, learn many different things, and have many different social structures. So to be incarnated now compared to any other time in human history is rather remarkable if you think about it. The way we look back and think, well, I'd love to have been around at that time. I'd have loved to be able to see those people and the way they lived. People are going to think more of us now than any other time in human history. So when it comes to reincarnation, we're very lucky. But we've also got to keep in mind that it's a very strange subject to deal with. You can be influenced in many different ways and run with many different misconceptions. Reincarnation, I feel, and past lives is a reality, but hard to prove, especially what we then feel is what is our history. But we, in our lifetime, we wake up from many dreams. We sleep nearly every single night, and every time we sleep, we go into a dream state. And we remember very few of our dreams. The ones we do remember, we can pass off as just our mind interpreting what's happened in our waking life and trying to deal with it. But often, many of these dreams that are very memorable, we know that they are spiritual in nature. There's a lesson in there. We've been talking to family and friends in the spirit world in our dreams. And we wake up from many of these dreams, and what happens is very quickly they fade. And after a couple of hours, they'll fade even more. And by the end of the day, all you remember are the main characters, events, and the meaning behind it. And we wake up from many of these dreams throughout our life. I believe when we wake up in a spirit world, we have like a life review, where we deal with all the buried, suppressed emotions and trauma that we've not dealt with in our lives. We look at the main characters, how we dealt with them, and we take the overall meaning from it. And the more we do work within our earthly life to deal with the suppressed memories and emotions, to deal with our darker nature, our suppressed shadow, for instance, and how we deal with people, quite often you will have an event in your life, or you'll do something that you're not proud of, and you'll bury that memory, and it will keep welling up to the surface until you deal with it. So when we pass and have this life review, the more we've done work on ourselves, the easier it will be to deal with when we pass to the spirit world. And I believe many times we wake up in the spirit world from these lives that we have, and much like a dream, it'll fade away, and all that's left is the memory, the meaning, and the people that were most important. So with spirit communication, we notice a few things. We notice how the spirit world, they remember some important details, but there's some that we feel that they should remember that they don't. And then we question the mediumship. We might say, oh, this was his lucky number. he needs to tell me that lucky number or I won't believe it. He might have forgotten it because it wasn't that important, really. And then there's people who don't communicate from the spirit world when we expect them to. There might be many reasons. They might have moved on and taken another life, gone on to another way of being. They may not be very good at communicating. It appears that we need mediums on the other side because souls don't automatically become highly evolved, advanced mediums the minute they cross over to the other side. They don't become all-knowing, all-powerful and all-seeing. They remain pretty much the same as they are, and they work on these things which we should work on in life, but they end up having to work on them when they pass over because they never understood about the process of life and the afterlife. So we should take that approach to reincarnation. We should think about how we can deal with our strengths and weaknesses in this life, some of which were brought over from another life. Some of them were developed in this life. And we are developing in this life what we can work on in a following one. Now, if you were able to drink the fountain of youth and live for 1,000 years, you would still be restricted by many different things. First of all, the physical body you're in. If you could make it last 1,000 years, you would still be very polarized in the character and person that you are. And you're going to experience life from a very specific perspective. That is the point of coming to this life as an individual. But in the 70 odd years that we get, you can't experience everything there is to experience. And if you could live 1,000 years as you are now, you would still need to come back as another type of person with another set of physical attributes and spiritual attributes. So it makes sense that we do have these constant journeys back and forth, and we do only live for 70, 80 odd years, and we do learn a lot in each lifetime, but collectively we learn so much more. And so you can live life walking in someone else's shoes by coming back and having a reincarnated life. By doing these things over and over again from different perspectives, we learn so much more. But just doing it from the one perspective once doesn't make any sense. So now reincarnation makes perfect sense when you think of it from that point of view. Doing your own past life regression, like I say, can be challenging, it can be rewarding, but it can be confusing. It would probably be best to see a professional clinical psychologist who works with hypnotherapy. They may not see it from the past life point of view. They may think that these are facets of your imagination, facets of your psyche. But they will be able to do this in a safe environment. There are maybe too many people in the spiritual community offering the service who don't really have the gift or the professionalism to do it properly. So you're going to be left on your own to sit in your own meditations. And like I said, when you do, you could be shown images in environments where you believe that was your past life. And you are being shown something for you, but it doesn't mean it was necessarily your past life. We have so many hopes, dreams, fears and anxieties that we have to take most of what we experience in meditation and not take it too seriously. Not talk about it as if it is absolute and concrete. We have to be very malleable with the way we accept past life meditations. They can help us. They can significantly help us grow and teach us about things. But we cannot then just go off and say, I was this and that person in a past life. Because you should be comfortable with who you are now. You are the culmination of everything you've ever been. You think how many times your soul has been on a journey and you are here now. Don't overlook how important your life is now and how special life is just because of how difficult it is or how boring it might seem to you on a day-to-day grind. Past life regression and reincarnation studies are abundant in the media now. You can go on the internet and find an enormous wealth of information. Again, I'm going to put a link in the description. I can refer you to Dolores Cannon's books, as well as Theosophy, the individuals Annie Besant and Charles Webster Ledbetter allegedly got together over two summers, and they spent their time using their clairvoyance to go back in time, chronologically, through all their lives, charting the history of the other souls involved in the Theosophy Society. And they went back as far as they could. There were some exercises they did to draw them further and further back, because typically we can only go back a handful of hundred, if not thousands of years in clinical past life regression. There seems to be a barrier that's very difficult to get past, possibly because the human mind has been evolving. And there was a point in our history where a great event happened and the human mind evolved quite significantly. And when we get to that point, it's very difficult to go any further back. And this could be mostly to do with the Great Flood. Very few people get back that far. And the reasons for that could be many, or it might just be that there's this barrier because the human mind evolved quite significantly, and what the human mind is now and what it was then are two different things. That's my belief anyway. But through Theosophy, some of these powerful clairvoyants did break that barrier and go back even further. Edgar Cayce's another example where he's gone back very far. And reading and studying these people can give you a lot of understanding and also inspire you to dream a bit more deeply, to really sit there and daydream and think about what your life is now and how you might have been in those times. Because we are eternal souls. We did dwell in these wonderful landscapes of the past that we dream about. That we did know some of these amazing souls. They did exist and we were there. But we've also got to remember that at the time they probably seemed like fairly ordinary people, the same as we are now. In 1,000 years' time, the history books, they may see figures like Donald Trump as almost imaginary. Whereas we were here and actually heard it. We saw it happen with our own eyes. It wasn't fiction. This guy really did exist. He really did say these crazy things. And people really did put him in power. And I'm not trying to be political. I don't care either way. I'm just using an example. So that when we look at history and we think of these great kings and you know, dictators and despots, it might be difficult to believe someone actually existed like that because our lives can be so ordinary. But they did. And through past life knowledge and meditation, we find out that these great events did happen. But to the people of the time, it was just everyday life. The people of the time were probably quite bored of their lives, just like we can be of ours now. The main takeaway from this podcast should be that you have all your past life history in you now. You're the culmination of many hundreds, if not thousands, of years of lifetimes, many different facets. Many of the people around you for very good reason. There are karmic influences involved in your relationships, both good and challenging. But we are at a pivotal history in time. we're probably at the most pivotal history of the human story that there ever will be. And you have incarnated at this time. You are surrounded by guides and helpers that can help inspire you to understand why you are here, what your purpose is. And as mundane and ordinary as you may think that is, it's actually very special, because life is very special. Life is very short on Earth. And the opportunity to come and live on the Earth and go through the challenges and trials and tribulations is obviously very special. When you look at the grand scheme of reincarnation and past life regression, it really hits home how unique and special this opportunity is. So we have to think about all the things that we've been repressing in our lives. We have to do this shadow work where we look at the aspects of ourselves that we try to reject, our weaknesses, our flaws. And we've also got to look at our strengths so that we can see where our purpose lies. If you are a very gifted artist, a very gifted musician, you have something to give. But you also have something to give if you're not a musician or artist. There is something that is there for you. And the same with mediumship. If you're naturally gifted, you still need to find a place to flourish, a place to be guided and instructed on how to do it so that you can be of most benefit to the world. And if you're not, you can still develop it. You can still sit in circles, sit in meditation and learn a lot about yourself and spirit. And if you're not particularly gifted and you struggle to do any development whatsoever, at least this teaching can show you that there is something in this life that you are meant for. Not all of us are meant to be mediums. Not all of us are meant to unfold our spiritual gifts. We're not all meant to be happy. But we all have a purpose. We all have a meaning. And it may only be when we pass in our life review that this will show itself to us. Life can be very tough and confusing, but we can take a lot of comfort knowing that when we pass over, we'll understand why. So please take time to sit and meditate. I'm going to do a past life or a sort of a greater life meditation podcast at some point. And during that time, you can see images of yourself traveling through time and space as an individual soul. It's putting on lifetimes like you're putting on clothes and trying them in a shop. Taking them off and working out whether you liked it or not. And there are quite a few interesting meditations that you can find online that will do this. But I would strongly recommend watching the video from the University of Virginia. Reading books, not just scientific books on reincarnation, although they are very enlightening, but also looking at other traditions. The Christian tradition also has reincarnation, but it's in there by default. Jesus is talking to his disciples and they ask him, because the Messiah is preceded by the reincarnation of Elijah. And so they're asking Jesus if he's Elijah or the Messiah. And he says to them that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah, but they had not recognized it, and that Jesus was the Messiah. He did not deny reincarnation. He didn't turn around and tell them that they were mistaken. He just explained to them who Elijah was. So by default, reincarnation is in the Bible. It's just not mentioned in overt context. We also have the Dalai Lama, who is the 14th reincarnation of the first Dalai Lama. And the way this is done is from a group of people. When a Dalai Lama dies, they pick a young child and they put the young child in a room with the objects belonging to the Dalai Lama and some other objects which did not. And when that child goes and picks all the objects that only belong to the previous Dalai Lama, they believe he has been reincarnated in that child. That child is then given the education and instruction fitting a Dalai Lama and grows up to take that role. So we have these traditions and we have many different aspects that we can study. When we do our meditations, we have to be open to the possibility that we have lived all these different lifetimes and that there are pieces of information from these past lives that are going to help us in this one. But we've also got to use common sense and understanding and not run away with dreams and ideas, but to know that we have strengths and weaknesses to work on. We have the culmination of all of our lifetimes here in this one. You are full of wisdom and understanding that you have yet to well up through meditation that will benefit you greatly as you do your meditations and as you go through life, finding those relationships and those strengths and weaknesses that are there for your soul's growth. They're not all nice and easy. It's not all love and light. There are some darker aspects for you to explore. So with that, you've got to be very careful. You've got to develop your own spiritual gifts. Go for spiritual healing. Be a spiritual healer. Try help other people. And in so doing, you'll learn a hell of a lot more about yourself than you will just from your own meditations. So when I do upload a meditation that will take us into a past life, we need to do this with great respect for our guides and know that they're going to show us what we need to see, not what we want to see. That they're going to give us sometimes their own lifetime or another lifetime as an inspiration. They might give you a figure from history that is given to you not because you were that figure, but because they want you to emulate that figure. And I've learned this over my experience, and I've seen the lives of my guides and wrongly assumed that they were my own. And it's only later on that this became apparent. And luckily I didn't go too far down the road thinking that that was who I was. But your guides are going to tell you that you are special. They're not lying. That the mundane, ordinary and difficult life that you're going through is actually a lot more special than we take credit for. So keep that in mind all the time. Every morning when you wake up is a new day to add to your eternal experience. And by looking at our weaknesses and our strengths, we can make the most of it. Every day we've got an opportunity to deal with our repressed memories and our difficulties. But we've also got time to make those memories that will probably come up in our next life. We have great opportunities, and with the wisdom of reincarnation, past lives, and the fact that we can actually go into them through meditation is very special. So just take your time, gather your wisdom and your knowledge, let it sink in, and see what comes up. You'll go on an amazing adventure through these past lives and through the study of past lives and reincarnation. It's one of the most broad, in-depth and also enlightening subjects that there is, and there's validation for it if you go looking for it. So I hope you enjoy this podcast.